Hey, welcome to the Full Arch Secrets podcast, everyone. The podcast where we will share and discuss strategies to dominate your dental implant market and grow your production beyond your wildest dreams. We're on a mission to help as many practices grow and to help change as many patients' lives through dental implant treatment. So we'd love your help in getting the word out there by commenting, liking, subscribing, sharing, all that good stuff so we can spread the word. And on today's episode, we have a special guest. We've invited Robin Dackman on. Welcome, Robin. Welcome to the day. So we are hanging out and we are talking specifically for those who are watching. I'm going to share my screen really quick. As many of you know, we've been discussing the Full Arch Framework. So hopefully you guys can see that there. For those of you listening in, and just as a reminder, Full Arch Framework is three pillars that if you do these things, we call it architecture. Each one represents a different architecture of the framework. And if you put this architecture in place, each of these three pillars, you will dominate your market. It's just how it is. And so the first one's authority architecture, second one's marketing architecture. And today, and the reason why we have Robin on is because we're talking about closing architecture. Now, this is, you now have a lead, you've attracted somebody in, you've got this lead, this person who's expressed interest. And this is the first time when somebody inside your practice is actually speaking with this lead. And we'll get to that. This is the appointment setting and the treatment coordinating aspect of that. And as for those of you who can see here, we're looking at the patient. It's the patient, the team, the set, the console. These are the four components of your closing architecture. And today we're talking about the patient. Now, the reason, and I want to introduce you guys a little bit more to Robin here. Robin comes from a background. You got your start, right, Robin, as a treatment coordinator?
Yes.
Clear Choice, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And then you went on, you did really well. You were a top performer there. And you went on and became a trainer inside a company there and trained lots of other treatment coordinators and then left and went on to create training programs for different institutions and companies and did that for quite a while until just recently we twisted your arm. I had this wild idea and I called up Robin and said, Robin, come over, help us put a certification program together. And she was like, that sounds cool. Let's do it. So very, very extensive. Robin is probably the most knowledgeable and experienced closing trainer in the industry and probably the most wide known. You've worked with a lot of people. You've trained probably thousands of people throughout your time with all the different types of training, or you put training in place that has gone on to be used by different institutions that have trained thousands and thousands of appointment setters and treatment coordinators and doctors. So really fortunate to have you on our team, Robin, and to be with us today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And for those listening, I'm Spencer Walker. I'm our CEO at Dental Implant Machine. We also have Kevin Vaughn on, who's our COO. Thanks for being on, Kev.
Hey, everybody.
Let's dive in and talk about this, the patient. In the sub writing here, we say the patient, and it says, know how to best help each patient. So we have to understand who we're selling to, right? Or who we're trying to help. At the end of the day, these are people who have medical issues. They have a medical need, and we are trying to help them come to understand the significance of that medical need and the type of treatment they need and help them get that help for their best healthcare, right? And I don't think we have to argue on this podcast that implants is the best way to solve a dentulous situation, right? Doesn't affect other teeth, body, yada, 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 right? We could go on and talk about that. And so how do we help these people come to know that dental implants is the best solution for their situation and then overcome their own biases or fears or concerns, right? And get that healthcare that they need. And that's what this is all about. So who are these people and how do we help them, best help them? So let's talk about that. Let's start with some demographics. And some of these demographics probably don't surprise you, and some of them probably will surprise you. Now, at Dental Implant Machine, we run a lot of ads. We've run millions of dollars worth of, tens of millions of dollars worth of ads attracting these people. So we've come to know a little bit about them. And Robin, in all of her experience and training, has been there at the forefront, talking with them and engaging with them. So hopefully we'll have a great conversation today. Starting with just basic demographics. Kevin, do you want to share some of the things that we've learned over our time?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we're talking about leads that are coming from marketing, we look at basic socioeconomic type behavior and data points, And the first one that we always consider is median income. And so there are people that make less than, let's say, $50,000 a year. There's probably lots of interest in this category, but they're regularly not able to afford the treatment. And then we work with a lot of clients who are in upscale, higher end cities and neighborhoods. And there's only people that earn maybe over six figures a year. And what we find with those people is that they're not really necessarily searching online, but they make decisions based on maybe word of mouth or reputation. And they might go to validate something that they've heard. They might go to validate that online, but they're probably not using a Google search or a Facebook ad in an answer to their questions or their concerns about dental implants.
They're already going to the dentist regularly and they'll go and talk to their dentist about it, right?
That's another great spot. They're not necessarily researching to find a new dental home. People in this demographic category have probably either one, taking good care of their teeth, or they have a provider that they like and trust already. So they're not necessarily going out and looking for a new one. But the sweet spot of patient that we're looking for is probably earning a median income somewhere between $50,000 to $70,000. Many of them are blue collar workers. Maybe their company has not supplied dental insurance, or it's maybe offered, but they've opted not to purchase it. And so they don't necessarily have a dental home that they go to regularly or that they're comfortable with. And so rather than just continue to suffer in the situation that they're in, they go online and they're aware that they have a problem. And now they're willing to look for someone who can hopefully help solve their problems. So they go online, they try to find somebody online who they are most comfortable with. And then that's kind of where they're coming to you, where they've initiated a phone call, or in our case, they've initiated a form fill and they've expressed some sort of interest. They've raised their hand that they're interested in some way. So these people are typically looking for flexible financing options. They do care a lot about affordability and how they make this work into like a monthly budget or how they stomach this level of investment, because the dentistry is definitely there, but they have to fit these square pegs into some round holes in their life to make sure that it can work for them logistically.
Awesome. Robin, would you say that your experience is in line with that?
Absolutely. I think I was really surprised. I thought that a lot of the patients that were going to come my way or come through and see us were going to be patients that, you know, had a higher income level. And what I really discovered was most of my patients that I closed were probably about 70% of them were blue collar workers. And, you know, I was trying to figure that out because a lot of times, a lot of blue collar workers I had had great credit. They had a substantial amount of savings, were able to put large portions towards their treatment. They were more likely to pay with cash or pay everything up front than it was with a patient with a higher income level. So that was something that really surprised me. And one of the things that I think where that comes from is a lot of people who are going through failing teeth, they really kind of live on the outskirts of society. And with that, I don't think they're going out so much socially. They're not taking big trips with, you know, friends and families. They're at home a lot of times saving their money because they're not doing a lot of things that they want to do. So now they've reached this point in their life where they've saved up some money and they're usually in their mid-40s to, I would say, early 60s is where I really see a lot of people come through like this. And a lot of times it's male too, but they're wondering like, is this it? You know, is there more to life? I've saved up all this money being at home by myself. And this is like the time where maybe they start saying, well, maybe I do want a future. Maybe I do want to start dating again, or I do want to move up in my company. So, but it really did surprise me that it was the blue collar worker that seemed to be in a better position than someone usually at a higher income level to be able to move forward with treatment like this. And so about 70% of my patients were in that demographic.
And would you say that, I mean, I think from our experience as well, and interested in your experience too, that the vast majority of patients are looking for flexible financing options, right? No matter income, It's not just like, oh, they make over 100K, they're just going to pay it all off at once, right? Like, it doesn't really matter. They're always looking, the majority are still looking for financial options, right?
Absolutely. I mean, even when you have the case where people are able to pay everything up front, most people want to hold on to their money. They're not willing to, you know, give it up at one time, especially in today's, you know, inflation and economy. Most people do want to pay it out over a longer period of time, or even if they plan on paying it off sooner than the length of their loan, then a lot of times they'll take that longer term just so they can have that shorter monthly payment, even if they tend to pay it off earlier, a year from now, 2 years from now, just to give them some breathing room while they come up with a good plan on how to approach it in the future. So I think most patients do want to hold on to their savings, hold on to their cash, and take on a payment plan that makes it easy for them to afford treatment.
Okay. Let's talk about drivers. Like, you kind of mentioned that, you know, sometimes people get to this point where they're like, oh, is there more to life than what I'm doing? Or, hey, I want to get back in dating or whatever. What are some of the core emotional drivers? Or maybe not just emotional. Frequently they are emotional, but like, what are just some of the core drivers that drive somebody to say, hey, I'm ready to get implants. I'm ready to look into this. And either of you, feel free to answer.
I'm happy to take that one. So some of the things that we see from a marketing perspective that motivate people to take action or to speak up or to make the phone call or to fill out the form, the very first one is probably pain. And that's because it's a very real thing that the patient can't escape. Maybe their teeth are failing. It hurts when they chew on one side. Maybe there's infection that they don't even know about, but they just know that it doesn't feel right. And so they're physically driven to need to do something about it. So I would say that's number one. Number two is probably more of an emotional thing. And it's like a level of confidence that they're lacking or a sense of embarrassment that is heightened. And typically what we see here is an embarrassing social situation happen to them. And they get home from that embarrassing situation and they immediately want to try to remove that embarrassment and they search. And so it's like a very recent negative experience that they've had that is pushing them towards action.
That's like also like I have my daughter's wedding coming up. I'm embarrassed, you know, I'm tired of covering my mouth every time I can't smile, you know, covering my mouth. I'm hiding out in my room, you know, I don't even want to go out and do anything social with my family because I'm embarrassed with my mouth, you know. That's a very strong motivator, right? That's where you get those people who see their smile, grown men who are crying, right?
It might be a daughter just got engaged and the wedding's coming up in 6 months and they know like, hey, I've put this off long enough, but now I have a deadline or now I have something like my wife is not going to want me in the pictures if I look this way. And so there's some sort of motivator that way where they're trying to remove the embarrassment. A few weeks ago in a professional football game, there was a fan that was caught on camera in the stands who was yelling at his team and cheering and his teeth fell out. And this gentleman became a meme. He became viral because his teeth fell out. Well, imagine all of his buddies at work saw that. The next day, his family saw that. That is the type of situation that might motivate somebody to go get that taken care of. And it wouldn't surprise me if that person has had a dental implant consultation in the last couple of weeks since that moment went viral on the internet for like everybody to see. I've also heard a story of a grandmother who was used to hosting Sunday dinner for her children and her grandchildren. And at dinner one night, her teeth fell out. Her denture fell out into her plate and it scared her grandchildren. And so this grandmother began hiding during family dinner. She would prep the meal. She would set the table. Everybody would come over and then grandma would go hide in her room because she didn't want to scare the grandchildren anymore. And she was embarrassed that she had all these lovely people in her life, but that her teeth were a liability. And so her motivation for getting treatment was to never have to sit in her room again and never have to experience that level of embarrassment with her family, with the people that were most important to her. So that becomes a really strong driver that motivates patients towards some sort of treatment. And I would just hit on one more. It's probably something like they miss something in their life that they used to have access to, that they used to be able to do, that they used to feel that they were eligible for, that they're no longer able to have. And one of those things is like food. It's steak. It's cheeseburgers. It's, you know, one of these guilty pleasures that they're really missing and they can't wait to get it back in their life. It could even be something as simple and everyday to those of us with teeth, but like crunching into an apple, and they haven't had that in their life for a long, long time.
Yeah. Robin, do you have any others that you can think of?
I was just thinking about so many different stories of patients walking through the door, and they have so many unique different stories. A lot flood my mind, but it is a lot of times either pain that will propel them to, you know, pick up the phone or respond to a lead. But even if it is pain that gets them to the door, it's usually an emotional driver that helps carry them through to that decision. I had one time this gentleman who was a very successful businessman, very well put together, very successful. He was in Europe for a big meeting, and the morning of this big meeting that he'd been planning on for months, his bridge in the front had broke, so he was missing his four front teeth. Imagine, he was just, he didn't even know what to do. You know, he planned for this meeting. He was just really distraught, really embarrassed. So he went to the meeting with a mask. Now, this was pre-COVID, you know, so this is before people wore masks, but he didn't know what else to do. So he went to a, I guess, whatever the Walgreens they had there. He got a mask and put it on, had his meeting, immediately flew back to Cleveland. I saw him the very next day. And but because of this moment that he had, he just, you know, we walked through his emotional journey, which, you know, really had been dealing with this for so many years, but it was that one moment where he had to take action. And so a lot of times people have that breaking point because people who are dealing with selling teeth have been dealing with this usually for a very long time. They've been putting this off for many years, you know. So there usually is that one moment, either their tooth breaks off when they're eating something, they're getting to where they just can't bite and tear off food anymore, they can't eat and chew, so their nutrition is being compromised. Or like you said, there's a special wedding coming up. I can think of tons of stories with weddings. You know, of course, people wanting to date again. That's a big one. There usually is some sort of aha or life changing, some sort of moment that's happening to where they want to take action. They feel like they cannot live, you know, with this current situation that they've been dealing with for so long. So usually there's something that you can create urgency out of. Either it's a time urgency or a health urgency, some sort of urgency that you can find with the patient that has propelled them to move forward.
Yeah, I love that. So I love that it's not just about the health of the mouth or the body, but we're, you know, in helping people get dental implants, we're literally helping their minds heal, their emotional natures heal, their relationships heal, you know, like it's so broad, so exciting to be a part of. Let's talk about a couple other things real quick, and then we're going to circle back to some of these emotional drivers here in just a second. And, you know, we've had this higher inflation happening, and so there's been kind of this uptick. People are more cautious in how they spend their money. And so there seems to be an uptick of patients getting second opinions, and that could be to your favor if you do that right, right? And especially if you implement a lot of what we've discussed before, having a great unique value proposition, lots of social proof, even if they do go somewhere else to get a second opinion. And then, you know, if they came to you first and then go somewhere else, they're very likely, if you put the stuff, if you put all three of these architecture in place, they're very likely to come back to you. But it's also to your favor, because if they're going somewhere else and then they come to you looking for that, you have that opportunity. So just another thing to know about patients in the current economy. And then let's talk about the differences between patients from marketing and patients from your existing practice. So you have somebody who's already been coming to you, you identify them as a candidate, a potential candidate for implants. The marketing patients tend to be a little less trustful, right, Kevin? Like in our experience, like in sending people over, versus like, okay, you're a general dentist and, you know, this person, you already have a deeper relationship, right? Any other things, Kevin, that you see in there in terms of like the marketing lead, just to be aware of the difference between the marketing versus the patient who's already existing patient?
Yeah, for sure. Thinking about those two different categories, you have your existing pool of patients and you will be able to attract full mouth dental implant patients from your existing patient base, but you're just limited by the people who are already a part of your practice. And so to do more arches or to do arches at volume, you typically have to go outside of your existing patient base. You need to begin promoting your message through marketing. And these people just don't know you from Adam. And so you have to do a little bit more, maybe peacocking. You have to show off your work a little bit more. You have to impress, and you have to start from scratch with many of these relationships. And so we need to help you with your unique value proposition, so you can stand out a little bit more and help your team to like know how to best position that and speak about the things that patients love about you, because now you're trying to attract patients that have never heard of you. So you may need to do things like wine and dine these people a little bit more in order to get them to like and trust you. The phone calls or the consultations that you have with these patients will typically take longer. And so you're starting from scratch. You need to help these people like and trust you. So you need to ask open-ended questions. You need to understand where this patient is starting from. You actually need to listen to them. And when you do that, you help them get over some of that anxiety, some of that fear, some of that affordability cost fear goes away, and you're providing them with a tremendous level of value. And so it offsets that price anchor a little bit. And that's how you can better attract and help marketing patients.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's really like you have to build a relationship, right? And if they're already a patient, you've already done some level of building that relationship. There's a relationship of trust there. On that new lead just coming in for the first time, being introduced, you have to go build that relationship and start there. We see this a lot with specialists that start marketing for the first time. They're used to referrals. That referral is pre-framed to thinking you're already good at what you do, and they're pre-framed by their GP to say, I need this, right? As opposed to somebody who just Googling and it's like happens to come across, fill out a form or call you, you know, and now your team's talking to them. Understanding the difference between those will help you know, okay, I need to take more time. I need to develop that relationship, you know, more. And so referrals are, they already have a certain level of trust and pre-framed. Existing patients have that, but marketing leads don't. And so consider that as you go forward and how you're talking to these people, right?
One thing that I would say about that, Spencer, is like something as simple as helping that patient show up for their appointment. The no-show rate on a marketing lead tends to be higher. And it's not because they're not a good lead or they're not a valuable patient, but they are starting from a much farther away starting point than your existing patients are or than the referral patients might be. They have already been primed and warmed up to like and trust you. And so the commitment even to take a day off of work or to find a babysitter and to commit a couple of hours to driving to your practice, filling out the paperwork, sitting in the chair, it's a big hurdle for these marketing patients. And so in subsequent or upcoming episodes, we're going to talk about how to have a more valuable phone call with these people right off the bat. And that can really go a long way towards helping your marketing patients show up at the same type of rate as your existing or as your referral patients might.
That's great stuff. All right. Final thing that we have is kind of looping back to that conversation about drivers and why people decide to take action. At the end of the day, these patients need to feel like they're worth it, right? Like that's the biggest thing. I mean, hands down, like if you've got a problem, they all want implants, right? Like unless they have a fear of like dental work, but even then they probably still want the output of it, but you know, just the fear of getting there. But at the end of the day, the majority of people are going to want dental implants. And then they hit this massive wall when it comes to, by the way, here's the cost associated with that. And we were talking with somebody just recently who was like, I am totally comfortable with paying $40,000 to $50,000 to renovate my house. But when it comes to spending that money on me personally, like, I don't know if I'm worth that, or I don't want to put my family through that financial strain just for me, you know, am I worth it? And that's probably the biggest question and hurdle that these patients have, right? Is, am I worth that really to invest in myself at that level? And that's going to be important, as Kevin said, you know, going forward, how do we help them? I mean, getting somebody out of pain, convincing them that like, hey, you've been missing out on eating steaks and apples. You know, it's fairly easy to do, but that emotional situation of like, am I worth it at the end of the day? Oh, I feel embarrassed, but I can cover my mouth or I'll just avoid people, you know? Am I worth it for that money? And we're going to talk a lot about ways to talk to these people and help them, empower them to say, yes, you're worth it. Your health is worth it. You are worth that, and help them, right? So in closing, do either of you have any more insights into the patient and how we help them?
One thing I thought of when you were mentioning that, Spencer, is You know, I think that's why it's so important to have patients visualize, you know, once you develop and have them vocalize like what they've gone through and the pain that they've experienced and, you know, with every aspect of their life. That's why it's so important to be able to take that pain that they've experienced and help them visualize it and turn that around to where they can see themselves after treatment, see themselves enjoying time with their family, whether it's dating again or moving up at work. I think when they're able to really paint that picture and then they can see it and they start believing that it's possible, that's where they start seeing like, okay, this could be worth it because look at the change. You can't really put a price tag on dating, maybe starting a family. You can't put a price tag on moving up in your career and you know what that will do for you over the years. You know, you can't put a price tag on being able to walk around and just smile freely. So if you're able to really help them, you know, kind of put the hurt, put the pain in the back of their mind and really, I always tell people when they explain to you how they want to see themselves in the future, you should be able to close your eyes and almost like it's a painting that you're having them walk you through. And if you're not able to visualize that, then you're not facilitating that, you know, the questions or, you know, how you're walking the patient to that, you know, appropriately. So it is really a skill that we want to develop because that I think is really where they can see, yes, it is worth it for me because look at this life that I could be having that I'm not having right now.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Robin. At the end of the day, the reason why we have this in here as part of your architecture is the better you understand this patient, the better you can identify them and find them, the better you can, you'll know how to talk to them, how to speak to them, to help them, you know, to help encourage them and motivate them to overcome their fears and the objections they might have. And the better you'll be able to help them get the life-changing treatment that dental implants are, right? So great conversation. Next time, we're going to talk about the team and assembling the team and the players on the team and the most overlooked player on your team and underutilized player that everybody forgets about for some reason, yet it's such an important part of your team. How to motivate that team is going to be a very good discussion. So join us next time. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you. Thank you, Robin, for joining us. And thanks, Kevin, as always. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.